In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
I wonder if any of you ever knew or were aware of the fact that in the Psalms there is a psalm of the resurrection. I didn't know that prior to this week, so if you knew that, you knew something that I didn't know until just this last week. I often, on feast days especially, will look to see what scripture references, particularly psalm references, are used in conjunction with the feast, and then ask myself, why is that? And as I was looking over the festal antiphons for Pascha, I noticed that one of the psalms that is used is Psalm 65 in the Septuagint, or it'd be Psalm 66 in most Protestant Bibles. And so when I looked up the psalm, you wouldn't find this in the King James or in any of the Protestant Bible, but the inscription in the Septuagint is that it's a psalmic ode of the resurrection. If I was going to guess, if you told me there was such a psalm, I would have guessed the psalm that begins with, "Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered," would be it. But no, it's not that one. It's this one. "Shout with jubilation unto the Lord, all the earth. Chant ye unto his name, give glory and praise of him." The way the King James translates that first phrase is, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." And what's interesting about that is the Greek word that appears in the Septuagint is the verb alalazo. And I was reading a commentary by one Byzantine commentator, and he talked about it as make ululation unto the Lord. And you might not know what ululation is, but if you are a Middle Easterner, you probably would, or at least you'd know the phenomenon, and you've probably seen it on news reports and in movies. But when you see Arabs either mourning, they'll do it a different way, but when they're happy, they start going like that. That's ululation. And that's what that warriors in ancient times, especially in the Middle East, when they were rejoicing, when they were celebrating their victory, you'd have a whole army of people who would start ululating, and it would be a joyful noise unto the Lord. They were not using words. They were making a joyful noise, and it was also a fearsome noise to their enemies that they had just conquered. And so this is a celebration of the victory of God. It also is interesting to note that he says, all the earth, make a joyful noise, or shout with jubilation unto the Lord, all the earth. So it's not just the Jews that are joining in this victorious celebration, but it's all the earth. Sing unto his name, give glory and praise of him. Or you could say, sing forth the honor of his name, make his praise glorious. Give to his praise glory, that is honor, magnificence, he is saying. Praise him gloriously and not as you would praise a human being. So you don't just praise God, but you praise him in a way that is glorious. Say unto God, how awesome are thy works. In the multitude of thy power shall thine enemies be proved false unto thee. It was God's awesome power that healed the sick, cast out demons, and raised the dead. And it was by the same power that Christ himself triumphed over death and rose from the dead. But at every point, his enemies lied about it. His enemies said, you're raising the dead by sorcery. You even find that in Jewish writings that have been preserved to this day that try to slander the life of Christ. In the Gospels, we're told that they accused him of casting out demons by the prince of the demons, Beelzebub. Even at the resurrection, they told the soldiers who guarded the tomb to lie and to say that the apostles had come and taken over by force and taken away the body of the Lord, which would have been a crime punishable by death under Roman law for a soldier to have allowed something that was given to their trust to have been taken away. But the Jewish authority said, look, if it gets back to Pilate, don't worry, we'll talk to him and it'll be okay. So they paid them off, but they lied because they didn't want to deal with the truth of who Christ was. Let all the earth worship thee and chant unto thee. Let them chant unto thy name, O Most High. In contrast to the enemies of God who lie about his works and are proved to be liars, all the earth is called to worship and to sing to God and to praise him. Come and see the works of the Lord, how awesome he is in his counsels, more than the sons of men. All the nations, again, are invited to come and to consider the wondrous works of God. And he begins by reminding both the Jews and the Gentiles of the wondrous works that he worked in the Old Testament for Israel. It says, "He turneth the sea into dry land, and the rivers shall they pass through on foot." So first he references the greatest event in the life of the Old Testament people of Israel, the crossing of the Red Sea in the Exodus. He turned the sea into dry land when Israel passed through the Red Sea, and he also allowed them to pass over the River Jordan into the Promised Land on dry land when he caused the River Jordan to turn back its flow. And not only those in the Old Testament, but this is a prefiguring of our baptism, and so we have participated in this very thing. We have passed through the Red Sea. We've been buried with Christ in baptism and raised in his resurrection. There shall we rejoice in him that is ruler in his sovereignty forever. As we see with the eyes of our mind the works that he wrought in the Old Testament, we see how they prefigured the baptism of the Lord, how he walked on the waves of the sea, and how he rebuked the winds and the waves, and they obeyed him because, unlike so many human beings, the winds and the wave recognized the voice of their Creator, their King, and their God, and they obeyed it. His eyes look upon the nations. Let not them that embitter him be exalted in themselves. God calls all the nations to him. All are invited to join in the victory of Christ's resurrection and to join him in the feast and to rejoice with him in it. But he warns those Jews who rejected him and embittered him to not be exalted in themselves. They should not think that they alone are called or that God cares for them only, lest they find themselves left outside in the end altogether. As we hear in the Gospels from the Lord, "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now when we hear these words, I'm sure at least as most of us as non-Jewish believers, I think there's sometimes a temptation to sit back smugly and say, "Oh, those Jews, they never learned," you know, but we have to be aware of the fact that we could fall into the very same snare if we think that orthodoxy is just for us, for our people, for the Russians, for the Greeks, or maybe just for the select few, the people who are smart enough to figure it out. Our job is to make orthodoxy known to other people, and we make it known when we fully enter into the joy of the resurrection so that those around us can see it in us, in our lives, and in all that we do. We are called, of course, to fast, to repent, and all that we put into Lent is to prepare us to enter into the celebration of Pascha, but we are called upon to enter into a time of joy and rejoicing during the Paschal season. People should be able to see that joy in us. "Shout with jubilation unto the Lord all the earth, chant ye unto his name, give glory and praise of him." Amen.